Well,
so it looks cooler this way, you know?
It looks so cool. You look cool, man.
Thanks, man.
Me and my friends in Sydney are like, guys have to tell each other they look good. So, like, me and Jack Wright will just go around like, you look pretty.
That's not, I can't.
But only to dudes.
but I can't take a compliment like most people.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I'm always, especially living in the world of comedy, it's like everything is based with some form of facetiousness.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, oh, go on.
Yeah, exactly.
I did that, you know, Matteo Lane from America, the super gay dude. He did a theater tour of Australia recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like how that got it for me. The super gay dude. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he is, but seriously.
Yeah, come on. I know what you're talking about.
So he came and did Rat Club in Sydney. He just dropped in, just wanted to run some stuff about Australia and see if it worked.
Awesome.
And when he turned up, I went out. I'm like, oh, man, thanks so much for coming. I'm a huge fan. He's like, oh. Like, he almost, like, turned his back on me and walked away when I'm like, I'm a huge fan. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I hate you and I think you're not funny. How about that?
That's better.
Yeah.
Probably better. That sucks, though. You should be able to say that you're, I'm a big fan.
He was very nice, though.
Nah, what a dog.
we hate him. All right, intro time. Shad Wicker, thank you for coming on Dead Ramones podcast.
Absolute pleasure.
You're a comedian. You're a podcaster. You're a... Would we call Shad and Peter game show? I was going to call you a game show host.
No, I think it's... What is it referred to in the script?
Pandemonium.
It's a cult, late night cult sensation.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah. I like that.
What was the quote you wanted to put on the poster? You got a bad review and you're like, oh, if you think calling...
Oh, yeah, it was bullying disguised as comedy. Which I think is great.
You mean comedy?
Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
thanks for coming on. Thanks for making the time. Thanks for renting out your beautiful studio.
Yeah, well, it's not bad. It's not mine. I wish I could say it's mine.
Anyone watching this on Instagram, don't get fucking used to it.
Yeah, I'll deny that this happened here because I don't know if I'm allowed to just lease it out.
Oh,
where
this is like we're moonlighting.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, fair.
It's a Christmas break, mate. No one knows.
It is Christmas. This won't come out till I think 15th of January.
Oh, no, I've ruined. I've completely ruined it.
No, it's great because I had to get you in. I had to get Shad Wicker on the podcast. Right. So I had to get the Brisbane comedy darling, Shad Wicker.
And hardcore music expert.
Hardcore music expert, Shad Wicker, who in your messages to me is like, oh, yeah, my aunt bought me a Rage Against the Machine CD. Yeah. Because today we are talking about the one and only EP released by Southern California hardcore band Inside Out. It's called No Spiritual Surrender, released in 1990. We're into the 90s, new decade.
Nice.
We're done with the 80s.
Okay.
I was 5 years old, 1990.
Wow, you got that many on me.
I got that much on you, man.
I was two.
At least you were born in the 80s, honestly.
I was born in the 80s.
I hate doing comedy, dude. Everyone's so young.
Yeah, they're all fucked.
I keep getting older. Matthew McConaughey.
I'm starting to get like...
Everyone else my age has quit except for the people who are actually successful, like like Bowden and stuff. They're like, oh, yeah, no, of course, I'm making money, so of course I'll keep doing this.
I think that's good. You don't want a bunch of...
That's true.
A bunch of old cunts, I don't know. Yeah.
You only want the actual funny ones. Yeah.
You know what? I saw it actually today on Insta. This is like how much you just naturally get more and more conservative and hating the younger generation. But I saw a thing where it was like a survey that said 82% of Gen Zers have anxiety ordering a meal at a restaurant.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, fucking hell, give up.
Yeah,
Give up, mate.
Kill yourself.
Kill yourself.
Kill yourself. Just kill yourself.
Are you kidding me? It's fucking wild. Like, and you think it's actually just because of the music that you chose, like hardcore music. Yeah. This was like the, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was like the rejects type genre, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's maligned. It's underground. Yeah.
If you've got anxiety and you're like, oh, I'm a bit anxious. I don't feel like I fit in, mate. Just chuck the black clothes on, paint
have
your nails,
a scream.
And scream.
No, that is literally
along.
It. You're on the money. Yeah. That is literally it. It's like, I've got mental illness. It's the 90s. Yeah. We don't understand. We're still coming out of like the boomer generation where it's like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just have a scream.
And as if there's even that much choice in food now. Don't you reckon?
Yeah, it's
like all food's the same now.
It's just smashed potatoes or something.
Everything,
like, you know?
Everything is. Every pub you go to is just burgers.
Burgers?
You like can every have brewery's burgers.
The three types of food are burgers, pizza, and fucking, I don't know what else. That's
like
it.
A schnitty.
Salad? Salad?
Yeah, maybe a salad.
Schnitty is a salad, I think.
Yeah, I actually count it as a salad. Schnitty is me being
that
good.
That didn't cut up the chicken. That's it.
That's me being a good boy.
Oh yeah, if you want to know how, like, you know this, like, if I'm acting weird on video, this is how old I am. I have done my back in.
Yeah,
I've done it. How'd it's you done. Do it? In the words of the physio I saw, 38 years of bad habits.
Oh wow, I'm
fucking bitch.
38.
Yeah, I'm 38.
Yeah, but like, yeah. Just saying, you had bad habits from the get go.
Yeah, just slouching ass straight out the womb. Do you want to see my cupping bruises? I got cupping yesterday.
Okay.
You know what cupping is? Like the acupuncture style.
When someone farts in their hand and throws it in your
face. Yeah, that's what happened. I got bruised from that. I want to get your reaction on these.
Oh, fuck.
even the physios in the clinic, they were walking past while it was happening. They're like, ooh. I'm like, you see this every day.
Yeah, it went a bit too hard, I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
What does cupping do?
It like basically separates the tissues a little bit, so it just loosens you up.
Yeah, right.
Because it's like suction, basically.
What?
It's just suction.
Like, but were we ever supposed to do that?
It's like, I think it's Chinese.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing I trust, it's the Chinese.
Yeah, right. The Asia, yeah, the Eastern
the
medicine.
New superpower. China.
I like how, I don't know which comedian it was, but I saw someone who's like, if Eastern medicine was so good, you know what it'd be called? Medicine.
Medicine.
That's a really good point. What else?
Real
is on
sus on the direction, like the directional disclaimer you're putting on.
Yeah, yeah. And my only understanding of Eastern medicine is it's poking holes and everything. All roads lead to Rome, but in Eastern medicine, all roads lead to maintaining a hard erection.
Yeah, Chinese dudes love being hard.
They love being hard. They're just like, I need it all the time.
For a country that was so obsessed with only having one child, it's a bit of a disconnect there. It's like, you got to keep fucking, but you can only have one of them.
One child. I need some rhino horn. Yeah. Like, it's never, it's always a weird way.
Yeah.
Everything has to be a fucking pilgrimage with it.
If you go to the top of the highest mountain in this province, you can get a rock hard
rager.
Dick.
You get an absolute rager up there.
There's a guy up there. Yeah. Hasn't eaten.
No women. There's no women.
No women.
No women for like hundreds and hundreds of kilometers because you're in the highest mountains of Tibet.
For the fellas.
But you'll maintain that erection so much that you can get back to Beijing.
And hopefully find one of the girls we didn't throw in the river when they were a baby.
Oh my God. That's actually, they're like, yeah, you need some rhino horn. They're like, how about we just have more women?
I think women are pretty hot.
They're pretty hot.
I never thought about rhinos, actually. But yeah, we are going full uncle mode today. So it's 1990. It's Inside Out, No Spiritual Surrender. And the reason this is, the reason I chose this EP for like, because we're going year by year.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm just choosing one record from a year. This, I really feel like this record set up the next decade.
Okay.
So I don't know if it sounded to you like it was particularly remarkable or particularly weird at all.
I think the first thing I noticed listening to it,
yeah,
couple of things. One, I got real like, I think I messaged you. I was like, I was walking, listening to the record, and I was like, man, I really want to like kick over a bin and smash someone's mailbox.
That is it. even Rage Against the Machine. That's like that. Like they want to fuck up the system. That's where you start. You're smashing mailboxes.
I was getting real like
fuck Australia Post.
Yeah, walking down the street, started hating myself because I had a keep cup, and I was like, what is this?
No, Zach. I think Zach would like that.
Would he like that?
I think he would because okay, he's a lefty. He's a Greek. I should say for anyone listening, the reason Inside Out are so remarkable is because it's Zach De La Rocha. Hmm. From Rage Against the Machine. This was his first band before Rage Against the Machine.
First ever.
Yeah.
Because
not first ever. He played guitar in another band. This is the first band he sung for, and he went on to form Rage Against the Machine right after they broke up.
Singing is you're drawing a long bow on that. I don't think it's singing at all, if I'm being honest. Like, there's no singing.
Having a little
grumpy. You know?
The American government.
Pretty much. It was like, gave me real like Tony Hawk Pro Skater vibes.
Yeah, a bit of that.
I don't know if there's any on the on the game, but I liked it. I was a Rage fan when I was younger, because like I said, my auntie gave me an album for my birthday when I was younger.
Do you remember which album you got?
I want to say...
What color was it?
What's it called?
Is it Evil Empire? That's the yellow one.
Battle of
Los Angeles.
That's one. Battle of Los Angeles.
Testify.
Yeah, Testify was it. Yeah. And that was the first one. And then I remember years later, she gave me that record they had that Renegades of Funk on it.
Yeah, the covers. It wasn't a covers record?
No, it was like just a weirdly like very different sounding album.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Renegades of Funk, I think, was a really cool song though.
I'm sorry, but...
I actually think it was all right. I'm going to say that. But yeah. How does this go? Do we go song by song? I wrote notes.
We can go song by song. I'll give you a bit of background on it, and then you tell me what you thought about the songs. So there's only five. What? There's only five songs on this. Six songs.
Yes.
On this EP. So it's a quick one. But basically, I think I really like this record. But I think the reason Hardcore Kids is so fascinated in it is because we're all obsessed with origin stories.
Okay.
So and so much of what happened in the 90s started with Inside Out. So you got Rage Against the Machine, and there's this thing where they became such a mainstream band that people in the hardcore scene have it's almost like you're claiming a little bit of that culture, because you're like, oh, that actually started with us.
Oh yeah,
that started with us, but it was such a small scene. I could barely find any info on their history, because I think they were just another band. They're just another band in the scene, and it's only retroactively that people have sort of realized or placed this importance on them.
Yeah, you find out after the fact that X person did this, and you're like, yeah. I kind of knew that.
Yeah. I was in the scene with him. We were friends. Blah, blah, blah. He's just one of the most... He's on Run the Jewels, dude. Settle down. you're not friends anymore, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, exactly. It's like bumping into someone in Brisbane and them telling you that they're mates with one of the guys from Powderfinger before it happened or something.
Yeah, no kidding.
And you're like, yeah, of course. They lived in Brisbane.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's not only Rage Against the Machine. So the guitarist named Vic Dakara, he was instrumental in we can get into this later, but basically forming, I guess, a subculture or subgenre within hardcore called Krishnacore.
Well, I'm liking where this seems to be going.
Hare Krishna was already well-established in the hardcore scene, but it became this thing where the bands themselves were devotees to Krishna. And the music was part of their devotion and part of their worship.
Can you give me a bit of background on Hare Krishna, please?
Look, I don't know too much about Hare Krishna, but they're the guys in the robes. They try and give you books. They're like, oh, you should read this book. You should read the Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, Bhagavad Gita.
Then
you're like, okay, I'll read it. And they're like, give me a donation for that. And you're already holding the
monks,
book.
The monks. Weird monk guys.
Yeah, and they've got the okra on their forehead. Man. They've got the orange robes.
Yeah.
It's Hinduism. It's like a sect of Hinduism, basically. Yeah, right. But I think
a weird thing for your hardcore people to be like.
The reason
we're anti-establishment, but also very pro-religion.
Well, it's like the straight edge stuff, the vegetarianism, and then just bringing this element of spirituality into it. But I think maybe a bigger reason why it became such a big part of the hardcore scene in the 80s is because, especially in New York, Krishna was big in New York. They had the temples and everything in New York. And all the kids were always out on the street. And a lot of them were just 20-year-olds living in squats. They were just above being homeless.
Yeah.
And so these Krishnas just had access to each other. And there were these kids who were just more or less lost spiritually. And so it just gave them...
You know what? That's a good point, though, isn't it? Because
it seems predatory, but
It is. But, yeah. but there is a good through, because obviously hardcore music, a lot of new genres when they become a genre, starts in some level of low socioeconomic situation. Hip hop is the same kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's kind of funny when you mention that, because I think there's no one more spiritual when you really think about it than a white poor person. You ever meet people that are everyone I know who's on Centrelink, right? Everyone generally I know is on Centrelink who's got a bit of boganess to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Is really into spirituality as well.
Sure, yeah.
There's a dream catcher in every fucking housing commission home.
You got the Tibetan prayer flags.
Yeah, there's all that kind of shit. They are so attached to it. These people, they're smoking cones, babies crying out the back, there's less tires on their car than there should be, but at the same
really
time, they're
point.
But there needs to be some, free love in this world, man, and sometimes, don't you reckon?
I reckon you're onto something
love,
there.
They hate religion.
No, they spirituality.
Religion. They love spirituality.
Spirituality, yeah,
and in their mind, they can't quite see how they're both essentially living in the same realm
exactly.
at the moment.
Yeah,
just fucking poor whites and spirituality.
Yeah. Oh no, fuck the church. No.
The church is fucking weird, man. But when the sun comes up, you should kind of ground your feet in the soil.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think you should wear. They make you wear shoes in the pub now. I think it's wrong.
Like foot prisons, mate. You shouldn't be wearing those. Like, you know what I mean? You're trapping your feet. You're trapping your mind.
Yeah, because your chakra from your it goes down your spine.
They know a thing or two about chakras.
They want to talk to you about chakras.
They love chakras. They would have seen that cupping as well. And they would have gone, man, you get it, bro.
Well, yeah, but I think that's. I mean, I guess like the hardcore scene was pretty like multicultural, but like. Everything, predominantly white dudes, I guess. I mean, Zach was a...
he was mixed.
He's Latinx, I think.
Right.
But yeah, Victor Cara, he's a fucking Italian, you know? But he was the guy who went and did the Krishna thing for after this band. So you had Krishna, like Inside Out, were kind of like at the tip of the spear on that before it became a really kind of... major thing in hardcore. And then also the record label Revelation Records, which, I mean, yeah, I'm looking at your blank look. But basically all you need to know there is that, like, it's one of the biggest hardcore labels. And every sort of, like, I guess you'd say trend in the culture, they've kind of been releasing the bands that define that trend. Right. And Inside Out were one of the early bands that Revelation
released.
Were
they, like, the Motown Records of the hardcore?
No, because they weren't... they weren't exploiting young black artists and taking all their money, but
no. But instead, they're doing it to young whites.
Yeah. It's reparations. Yeah.
Where's their LMFAO guy? You know how Redfoo's the son of the. Redfoo's dad was like, I'm pretty sure, but yeah, like Redfoo. I think I've got this right. One of the founding guys of Motown Records, Redfoo's like his son.
That's insane.
Like, yeah.
God damn. Sorry for party rocking.
Well, I mean, there's no excuse.
That's
for
from his dad.
There's actually no excuse for party rocking when you think where you came from. Just an act of rebellion, Redfoo.
But basically, Revelation, it was a merch store. Like when I was growing up in the hardcore scene, when I was in my early 20s, it's like, oh, we're doing a shirt order from Rev Records, Rev HQ.
Okay.
We're doing, because, like, just, you know, save on shipping. Three of us get in together. You want this shirt, you want that shirt, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So it was the merch store. That was like the main one.
Okay.
Basically, yeah.
The gatekeepers of hardcore.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of like the cliff notes on Inside Out. And I will say, like, they only released a CP. They had material for an album and that before they broke up. And that album was going to be called Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, bullshit.
And then they broke up. And Zach went and formed the actual band, Rage Against the Machine.
Oh,
so he took a lot of the lyrics.
Then.
Yeah. No, I think, like, I read a couple of interviews. I think they're still friends.
Really? Because, like, that's kind of like, that's like getting to the point where you're naming what your future kids are going to be with your partner. Then you break up and then you immediately get the next person pregnant and name the kid that.
Got it. I got the name.
Yeah, I've already got the
name. You can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's like interesting. Well, that's crazy that you already have the idea.
Yeah.
Why did they break up?
I think
Krishna stuff, probably.
I think he wanted to. Yeah, I think he was getting more into the spirituality.
Yeah,
and he wanted to do more of that. And then I think it was just like sort of part and parcel of the time. Like a lot of these bands, at least in the '80s, they only lasted a few years. There are only a few that really went the distance and had full careers. Then they just released these like albums that are kind of worshipped, like this one, and then they break up. They do another band. All these people do multiple bands. They all do, and everyone... And,
that's a theme in your little world, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all cross-pollinate.
And it's like this weird, like I said, it's like this weird kind of autistic special interest thing where it's like, oh, well, like with Zach Della Rocha, it's like, oh, well, you know, Zach was in this unknown band from Southern California and that other guy was in this band. Like the spider web, the family tree is like such a important point of conversation when you're in hardcore. Like,
who's the most connected person in hardcore? You know how you do like 6 degrees of separation or whatever?
I think
who would be the person like The Rock, I feel like, is probably the most linked person you could do in Hollywood.
I reckon my friend...
Actually, that's wrong. It'd be like an actual actor. The Rock's in so many like Fast and Furious and all those
kind of
big ensemble movies.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
So you can kind of quickly link him to a lot of people.
I would dare say... I mean, I think this is just me. The person I know who is the most connected is my friend Brendan Casey. Shout out, Brendan.
What, not even a...
Not even a guy. No, because he grew up...
Just random guy?
Lifelong New Yorker. Lifelong New Yorker. Grew up on Long Island and just like toured as a roadie for all these different bands. He knows Michael Stipe from REM. He knows all these fucking people.
Right.
And he's just got this like web, this global web.
That's cool.
Just knows like friends with the guys from Taking Back Sunday, all that sort of stuff. That's he told me great. This crazy story because he basically he's a lifelong hospo guy as well. And he worked the bar at this really fancy restaurant in the lower, I think lower east side. And so that's where celebrities would come to dine out. But it was like a very small restaurant.
I've seen Sex in the City. Yeah.
But it was like a small, like not many seats sort of thing. So Hilary Swank, all these people. And he just told me the story. He's like, oh yeah, Julianne Moore would always come in. And then like one day I was walking down the street and Julianne Moore was like, oh, Brendan. I'm like, you can't just say this so casually, Brendan. Yeah. Like, you can't just like...
You dick. It's funny how
this is
like,
the coolest story anyone's ever told. And you're just like, yeah it's just Julie. Like,
but to him, that would be...
It's normal.
As normal as like...
Yeah. It's his job.
Like us walking around Brisbane and being like, one of the Broncos. Saw one of the Broncos. Yeah, like, it's kind of minor level.
Absolutely, yeah.
To him, he's like, it's just whoever.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's pretty cool.
It'd be cool to be in that... It'd be really fun. I always like wonder like what the best kind of... to live in a celebrity world would be.
Yeah.
The best character to be would just be the unknown, like only known within the circles.
Oh, and you're friends with everyone, but none of the paparazzi would need a photo of you.
It's like, it'd be really good to be like a director or something. Because I feel like most normal people like us don't, we know your name, but like I couldn't pick him out.
No, absolutely.
I wouldn't know what you're
unless it's like Marty. Like.
And now the Oscars are dead and the Emmys are dead. Like, I'm never going to see you on the telly anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But you get to go to all the cool parties and all those people are like, what's that?
Yeah. Everyone in the know loves you. But
yeah, like, they love you.
No one else knows what you look
like. Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, the roadie, not so much because the money's not there. I still want some of the money. Yeah, that's good living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to, tell me your perception.
Okay.
Of this. Now that you know the history,
I definitely picked up the rage vibes before it was mentioned to me, which is cool. Yeah. I think it was cool. It definitely, it's fun like how you say like it was a starter or whatever of like a genre.
Basically, yeah.
I don't know if this is just because I'm not into the scene or whatever, but it's like it very much, you go, I first thought when I listened to it, I was like, geez, the music hasn't really changed that much, has it? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Like, it's sort of like, we're, I feel like I could turn on another record now of a hardcore band and they'd be doing the same sounds.
What
I feel like you could say that about a lot of different genres, but also like hip hop definitely changed from the 80s into the 90s and the 90s.
Oh, hip hop's constantly changing. Like,
the sounds are a bit different.
Hip hop changes like, year to year.
This genre seems to sound the fucking same.
Yeah, look, honestly, last couple of years, like, I'm obviously, I'm going to keep doing this, but like, between 2020 and now, it feels like bands have really been experimenting.
Mm.
Like, hardcore isn't that hard anymore. And there's still bands that do it like really hard, but then there's all these bands that are just like doing weird shit. And there's still hardcore bands because of the individuals that are
what
in the band.
What defines like hardcore? So if I was
What was that? 23 minutes. Okay, yeah. Every guest.
Do that? Yeah.
Yeah. What's the difference between hardcore and punk? Is that what you're going to say?
No, not punk. No. I feel like for me, punk is like they go like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Blink-182-y kind of shit.
But do you just mean like what defines hardcore as a sound?
Well, just because I'd go like you got hardcore and then you've got like metal, but metal's more when they're like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's I would say Inside Out.
It sounds so good. Like,
that's exactly what metal sounds
metal,
like.
Yeah.
I think Inside Out, like that part of what set them apart and part of what like started this new trajectory for the bands that came after them was the metal influence. Because he played this crazy BC Rich guitar.
There was a really good,
which is like a Slayer
type
guitar. Like it's like this weird, it's not a flying V, but it's like this weird devil shaped guitar.
Sick.
And he's like, he's doing like these, like, he's rocking. He's party rocking.
Yeah, he's party rocking.
Victor Carr is party rocking on this. but yeah, like super metallic recording sound as well. Right. Like the guitars aren't like lush and like thick, they're like chainsaw on this record. I feel like like it's like really heavy.
But
guitars.
Is the music what defines the genre, or is it the anti-establishment style?
I think in hardcore, it's more the people. There's definitely sounds and there's definitely like tropes.
Right.
But I do think when you look at it over the long timeline, like what we are, it's a culture. It's kind of like Judaism, where it's like, sure, it's a religion.
Like your mum has
also,
to be it in order for
like there is a religion. There are tenets to it. There are specific things that define Judaism. But more than that, now it's a culture.
Mm.
It's like this umbrella idea where it's like, even if you're a Jew who doesn't believe in the religion, you're still a fucking Jew.
We're really dancing around the Israel conflict at the moment.
And this is what I wanted to talk to you about.
So Israel is hardcore music. And Palestine. Yeah, well, it's... Okay, so metal's more the and hardcore's a bit it is quite anti-establishment. I wrote some notes off. Do you play some of the song in the podcast?
No, I don't have the tech for that. But
you don't?
No.
I'd love for this one.
Yeah, okay, I can edit it in.
Because in the first song.
I'll do it for you.
Thank you. In the first song.
Yes.
I don't know if you want to play it on your laptop and you can cut it.
That's all right. I'll.
Because I feel like you need to hear what I heard.
Okay, sick, yeah.
Because for the first song, my first note
here. First song, Burning Fight.
Burning Fight.
Yep.
I wrote, did he say rape? That was my first note.
Do you want to
play the beginning?
No, I'll look up the lyrics though.
Because I need you to hear it. Don't look at the lyrics. I need you to hear what I heard.
All right, on my walk.
Because I was walking my dog and I went, oh, God.
Ooh, spicy. And get on my hotspot, sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. I should just play it off my phone, actually.
Yeah,
I was just listening to it.
Burning Fight, like, there's a book, there's a definitive history of hardcore book, 90s hardcore, called Burning Fight.
Okay.
Yeah.
About this song?
Well, about the whole culture from 1990.
Well, I hope that I've not pinpointed what kind of culture this is, because that is a disgusting kind of culture.
Well, even if he says rape, he's definitely not saying, I want to rape.
So, listen to this.
Hell yeah. Noise. I love noise. Oh man, gets me going. Right.
Now.
I did not even put that together.
That is an interesting way to start a song.
Oh boy. I'm just like sitting here like, yeah, actually the song was like very influential. There's a guy wrote a book and he named it after the song. It's like, fuck. Yeah, I don't know.
Now someone, I need to follow.
Can't argue with science, I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's an interesting start to the song, because even on Spotify where they have the lyrics, they don't actually show it.
I think it's just a
really?
Like a ooh.
Really? That's a noise. That's the noise. Such a hard. Oh, that's hardcore. That is a hardcore. That is way to very start hardcore. But that really caught my ear.
Jesus Christ. That's so funny. We're canceling. We're canceling Inside Out on this
think
podcast.
So. Yeah, so you don't have an answer for me there?
I'm going to choose to believe that it is not the word rape.
Well, maybe I think the people should go to. Right? I don't think it's you're right.
Right. Right.
No, then he's notoriously left. He wouldn't say that. I would implore anyone listening to this podcast to, I don't know if you're going to clip that at all, but please comment down below if you think.
Yeah, tell us what you think.
Actually, you know what? Write down below right what you think he said and fill the comments. But that was really shocking.
You're shocked by that?
That shocked me. And
you're not easily shocked.
I'm not easily shocked at all. I liked the song about identity theft. I think that was a very, mm-hmm. You know, that's something we could really, I like songs that we could talk about right now. The No Spiritual Surrender.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's the best song ever. It's just the best song
ever. He sounds like an elderly man who's like had a phone call with someone from any ethnicity.
No.
And is now shocked to find that his super has been drained. It's just like, you will not take my identity. Man. Like, all right, dude, relax.
Not just another pebble on a beach.
Yeah, mate. That's...
Man, we used to cover that song. That song is like,
really?
That song is like up there for me.
It's really, I just
love the intro, like with the fucking tribal drums that come in. It just gets me going. Man.
I think that was the best song on the record.
It's definitely the best song on the record. Easily.
That song, and also there was a song on there that was a minute 41, made for radio. That's pretty good.
Yeah, these, yeah.
That's pretty good stuff. I'm sure it didn't get much play, but I think it was called, was it called?
You got Sacrifice.
Undertone.
Undertone's good. I like Undertone.
And this is what I want to...
There's some lyrics from Undertone that made it into Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, really? Well. I read the lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating that they were able to fit the lyrics in there. Minute 41 song, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, about 6 sentences worth or something. But I was like, listen to it, I was like, is this a hardcore band or is this the writings of like a bush poet sitting by... Like while the Billy boils.
Yeah, well, it's funny because like some of the lyrics were written by Zach and some of the songs were written by Vic Dicara, the guitarist.
Ooh, so don't it's tell interesting. Me who's...
I don't know, but I can take a guess, I bet.
Okay.
I bet I can take a guess.
I would imagine, and again, you're going to have to work so hard on production, but it'd be great to have some sounds of like sitting by the campfire.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Staring off in the distance, my horse. Like we're talking Drover times.
Drover times, you know? we've put our swag down.
We put our swag down, you
we're
know.
We're going to get up first light.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're sitting.
But for now
know?
We're doing some spoken
now
word.
Now we're just doing a bit of, doing some art. They did do a lot of art back then.
Art for the fellas. It's just like fellas. Talking about jum bucks.
I miss those times. Yeah, back when art used to be for the fellas. Just a bit of poetry. You know, that's what's wrong with this world. Okay. Okay, my handwriting's so bad I'm actually going to get it up on Spotify because I don't want to mess with the undertone of Undertone. Okay, Undertone. What's the band called again?
Inside Out. You literally just had it up.
Okay, here they are. Ooh,
that's
okay.
The other thing, like all the weird noises I think is part of, I mean, well, yeah, well, I'll let you do your thing and then we'll talk about like what they were doing here with the noise.
Camping by the Billy's boiling. All right, big beard.
Dampers on.
Got my hat. Dampers underneath the coals we're writing around. Yeah. We can't separate. We cannot cut the cord. We can't deny to relate. More ignorance we can't afford.
Rhyming.
We cannot quiet the truth. We can't quiet the undertone. So eager to claim we could never be the same. Can't quiet the undertone. A stale superstition puts compassion in remission. We can't quiet the undertone.
Do you think they could quiet the undertone?
It doesn't. It seems like, it seems for, like it's for an undertone, impossible it seems task. Very loud. Seems like this undertone is more of an overvibe. If you can't seem to quiet it at all, it's all right. Not serving its purpose.
Chad's now the co-host of this podcast. every time I look at the lyrics, this is one I didn't actually look at specific lyrics for, because every time there's some fucking lyrics, I'm just like, this is fucking stupid. And then I'll tell the guests, and they're like, yeah, I guess so. I'm like, no, it's...
That is like, I was just like, okay, what is this commentary? You know
what is
I mean?
The undertone?
What I don't know what the undertone is by reading the lyrics either. I was like, okay, so what is he trying to say here?
Yeah.
You know, because, okay, the undertone is, and it's like we can't separate, can't cut the cord, can't relate, more ignorance we can't afford. That's pretty lefty.
Can't cut the cord. Yeah,
cool. Ignorance and stuff on it.
Yeah, we don't
right?
like ignorance.
We don't like ignorance. But then he's like, we cannot quiet the truth. We cannot quiet the undertone. Then I'm like, now you've gotten a bit QAnon, you know, a bit Trumpy. You know, oh, the truth is not truth.
We will not be replaced. The next line is weirdly, we will not be replaced. I don't know.
A stale superstition puts compassion in remission. See, that also...
Religion.
That,
that's religion.
That's religion? Because that yeah, also sounds like a Cardi B verse as well at the same time.
Hey, he got it. He became a rapper.
Yeah.
Like, he was a rapper after this.
Style
yeah.
superstition puts compassion in remission. You know, every time like a hip-hop, like especially lately, like yeah. with the real sexy hip-hop that's going on, it's like... Something profound, and then look at my ass.
Yeah.
Like, you'd really just hear like a stale superstition.
Also, my pussy be gushing.
And my pussy be gushing. You can't quiet the undertone.
God isn't real, but this pussy is. Yeah, well, I mean, like, they talk about the lyrics and like how they had these socially conscious lyrics, and that was part of the 90s movement as well. But then, like, you read them, and you're like, who are you talking to?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the rape comment is again, not to go back to the first song, but. If that's what the message I'm
but
that, trying to
that's out. The thing. I think the title track, No Spiritual Surrender, I think that is it, like we could just talk about that song because it is about like it's about this idea of self. It's about this like you said, identity. You're not going to take my identity, and that is political, but it's also personal. And I think that's like the thing that Zach De La Rocha has always done really well. He's like he's very political, but he is like very emotional as well. Yeah. It's not dry. Just like. Like when he's talking about closing the factories, he's talking about the people who work at the factories being fucking out of work, you know?
Yeah. The solution.
And it definitely started here.
Yeah, you can definitely get that. I feel like Undertone might be the other guy writing.
Probably. He was a bit more airy-fairy. He went to India and just became a monk for a lot of his life.
Yeah, I would say listening like to the that No Spiritual Surrender was the one that definitely stands out, because the other ones kind of I'll tell you this way. I didn't realize that Undertone had finished.
Sure, yeah.
And then another song had already been halfway through.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
What I do like about this is it's like so quick. It's six songs and you can, if you want to, you can really get into each one without it being like a fucking chore.
Yeah. You know what I thought also was interesting was the numbers on the downloads.
Oh, right. Okay, I didn't look at that.
Because I was kind of like... And you saying that No Spiritual Surrender is the big song out of the record that everyone celebrates.
Yeah.
742,000 downloads.
Yeah.
Just burning fire over 1 million.
This is because it's the first song.
So what we're saying there is, actually, you know what? If it does go in order of track, people really drop off.
after No Spiritual Surrender.
People really go burning fire, No Spiritual Surrender. They get to Undertone and they're like,
we're done. We got what we needed.
Inside Out. More like In and Out. Thank you. I'm done.
I'm done. So like what I was going to say is like, so you got the lyrics, you got like the political lyrics, and a lot of bands like really clung on to that throughout the next decade. And that did become like a defining, it wasn't just about like, I talked about this on the last episode with Meg, but like for so long in the 80s, it was all about, I'm twisted in my brain and like I'm hurting and I'm emotional and stuff like that. And it became more about, because of society, because of the US government, it got a bit more, I guess, just like, I guess you'd say intellectual, like got a bit smarter. Yeah.
Do you reckon, because it sounds like the 80s one was very what about, like me.
Well, it's just coming out of punk rock, basically, and like becoming...
I'm different.
Becoming hardcore. I'm different. Out of step, minor threat, all that stuff,
And then in the 90s it was like...
Well, now it's
the thing. The government's fucking things, and this is why I'm upset.
Yeah. And I think it was an established genre. Like after that decade, it was established and it had its own kind of lore. Like it had its own kind of... stories and all this sort of stuff. It had been existing for long enough that then it was like, okay, well, what next? What are these bands going to do next? Because like there are people coming 10 years after fucking Minor Threat, 10 years after Black Flag, who are kids listening to that shit. So those guys are old now.
Yeah.
So what are the kids going to do within this genre that already exists? They're not creating a new,
So that political activism linking to the music in a way.
Yeah.
Like... It's not the first genre to do it.
No, absolutely.
Like
not.
All the genres kind of did it.
Yeah.
But that kind of like, does it seem like
here we go.
This genre of music almost has like a whinge factor to it more than other ones do when it comes to political discussion?
Whinge factor. I mean, instinctually, I was like, yes, absolutely. Yeah, but like what do you mean?
Well, like when you think of okay, so like what's an easy song from... So if you went to hip-hop and you went like, oh, everyone knows Changes by Tupac.
Yeah.
And he's like, I see no changes, and it's just like, this is all the things I'm seeing on the street.
Yeah.
And, like I'm a young black man trying to get by, and this is what's happening, and it's affecting me. But it's like it's a story. It's just telling a story.
Yeah, sure.
And then it was like... even in the 80s, it was like NWA was like rebellion, police are fucking us. This is what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then it's like your genre.
whoa. No, my genre, but they're like, you're hurting my feelings.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are. Look, you
this
are.
This makes me upset.
You are disenfranchising black people, but it is also making me sad.
Like hip hop was like, this sucks and fuck the police. Yeah, that's bullshit. And like Tupac did some, obviously he had like Brenda's Got a Baby stuff like, that's a bit hectic stuff.
Yeah.
But like Tupac never went, and that's causing me crippling anxiety and my emotions and my relationship with my father isn't quite strong as I'd like it to be. And this is why I can't hold down a relationship for longer than 6 months.
Like, yeah.
But this is more a bit like...
Yeah, a little bit. I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
But pollution sucks and dad doesn't drive me to school.
I want to play hockey.
I want to play a bit of hockey.
There's a bit of that. I think. Look,
is that because it's white too?
Like, I think it's very white. Honestly, this is Southern California, very white, except for Zach, obviously.
Yeah.
In New York, it was much more of a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like the California bands were a bit whiter overall.
I think
just from observation.
I reckon whinging probably carries through a lot of California bands. When you think of like.
Yeah.
The sound, I imagine, from California, whether these guys are from there or not, but like Blink and all that is. Yeah. It's all.
No, Blink and Cali.
Me, me, me.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I love Blink, but like it is.
Yeah, definitely. Wah, wah, wah. Blink would actually come up every podcast.
Of course they do, because it's the most universal.
They're the touchstone for
band.
Like. Yeah.
Whenever you say band, people from like.
Oh, Blink 182.
Yeah. Blink 182.
The band.
And they just tour.
The only. Yeah.
That's
true,
probably they're like fresh in the top of our minds. Like, we could talk about Rolling Stones if we wanted to, or, you know, really take it back.
Well, these guys, that was kind of like the next thing. Like, but just on the hip hop thing, like, I think you could. I can't find any interviews or articles that say this, but like, obviously, Zach went into Rage Against the Machine, which were a very hip hop influenced band. You know?
Yeah.
And there is kind of, accounts of like the songs that Inside Out didn't record, like that they were writing, like the song Rage Against the Machine and stuff, was more hip hop influence. And they're talking about Run DMC, I guess because they're coming out of the 80s mainly. And Run DMC did the Aerosmith song. And
well,
like the
Run DMC always, like their sampling and stuff was always kind of linked to bands. And
yeah,
like that era of hip hop was very like...
Yeah,
like the hit of the like of the kick and all that in those tracks is always like that classic, like you know that wow, that was like a huge thing. Yeah. That is very easy, I think, to meld to.
Because
you think of hip hop now and you're like, no one's doing a fucking crossover.
No,
of like a musical genre like that into hip hop.
Danny Brown a little bit.
Oh, actually, and now it is
maybe a little bit Danny Brown. Yeah,
some of the best hip hop I listen to is with a live band, but like in terms of like hardcore music thing, it's. Yeah. Was De La Rock like the first to really, like the Rage Against the Machine meshing of those two?
No, because you had Run DMC with Aerosmith, you had Walk This Way. Then that was a big MTV. And I know that was like, it's kind of a shitty song, but like.
When was that? Was that in the 80s?
I'm pretty sure that was 80s, man.
Wow, yeah, right.
Late 80s, I reckon. I didn't.
But that's one track.
I didn't look it up.
That's like one track.
No, it's a big single, but it is that MTV culture as well. And I think.
Who's the next? Because if the 80s was Run DMC and Aerosmith, and then Rage Against the Machine did their one, and then Linkin Park teamed up with
Jay-Z.
We're in the 20s now, aren't we? Due for a, and Nelly did Tim McGraw. He went into country,
and Lil Nas X as well.
I'll give you a fun fact about hip hop and country. I met Lil Jon and asked him about like music and stuff, and he is exactly like the Dave Chappelle skit.
Oh, really?
Like he actually, and he just turns it on when you're like, we're doing the interview now, and he's like, But we're talking about music, and he's like, oh, I love country music. Music, man. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely love country music. Like, I love the story in that. But if those were their ones, we're in the 2020s now. Being the hardcore band?
Who are the big bands?
Who would you want? Hardcore, hip hop, who do you think would work with a crossover?
Man, I reckon
that surely you've got to lean to a genre melding hip hop artist who's almost a little bit hates that he does hip hop in Tyler the Creator or something.
Tyler.
To like merge across genre. You know? He's got the deep voice.
Man, what I would love is like Tyler the Creator and Military Gun.
Okay.
Because Military Gun, they're more like they're hardcore Jason, they're hardcore kids, but like they're like more or less an indie rock band now.
Right.
But like they've collaborated with so many people and they could do something weird.
I feel like Tyler makes sense because Wolfgang, like Odd Future, Wolfgang Kilmore,
they were
really punky.
Yeah, they were super punk.
Hip hop
yeah.
and stuff. So it would kind of mesh.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. It would be when the next who the next one would be. It's fascinating. Every decade gets one.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the Joker. We get the Joker we deserve. Yeah, yeah. Always get
who
a new
is
Joker
the hardcore hip hop mesh that we yeah, deserve. Yeah.
That is a very Joker thing to do. The rap rock, rap rock combination is like, yes, I'm gonna Batman. I'm gonna have mixed rap and rock. What are you gonna do about it, Batman?
Yeah, Batman's just a staunch band man.
I just want to listen to Led Zeppelin. so like apparently before they broke up they were experimenting more with hip-hop and stuff. They obviously ended the band. Rage Against the Machine happened, which was the definitive rap rock kind of genesis. Rage, which we can blame for Limp Bizkit, we can blame for all everything that came after it, but I think they are very different to all those bands that came after.
100%.
Because they feel more like Zeppelin, they feel more like Rolling Stones in the music, and then he's just sort of rapping over the top.
Do you know, like, obviously you know Limp Bizkit. Do you know the album $3 Bill, Y'all?
Yeah, yeah. That was one of the
What
earliest...
genre is that defined as? Because that was the first...
It's new metal, man. They're just a new metal band.
That was new metal?
Yeah, I know, like...
That was really, like, Pollution was a real, like, wow. Like, yeah. It was really...
This is new metal. But, like, I would also say, like, new metal came out of all this shit. Like, if Rage Against the Machine came out of Inside Out, like, Inside Out... I want to talk about the music and the actual sound of it more so than the lyrics. Cause like, you've got all those experimental kind of like drawn out intros with like the delay pedal and just like the feedback, like looping over itself. Like they really spend their time before the song actually kicks in. Like they there's an atmosphere to this EP. There's a moodiness that you didn't really have in hardcore. Before
it is
this.
Kind of, it, you're right. It does kind of sound like they're setting up at the beginning of every song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And but it's like spooky. It's like kind of goth. In. Like it is a little bit goth, especially with the metal tinge to the actual music and stuff. But then like the songs themselves have such groove.
Yeah.
Like they're really groovy and they are a bit more like that classic rock, but also makes total sense for that crossover into hip hop stuff because it's got such a...
Yeah.
Like, you'd almost, like, if he wasn't screaming over the fucking top of it, you could almost dance to some of these songs. It's like...
Yeah, it's definitely, like a really head cool. nod. It was easy to listen to.
Yeah.
Which I was skeptical when you asked me to come on the pod, that I'd be like...
Everyone is.
This album will be a fucking punish.
Some of them are, man. You got fucking lucky. This one was...
Great.
I did one with Hammo the other week. We did Suicidal Tendencies, and we were both like... I don't know, man. I don't know what to talk about with this shit. Sucks. Like, Suicidal Tendencies fucking suck. I'm sorry. but yeah, that music, like that groove, like I looked at bands that were influenced by Inside Out, and it's like, yeah, Linkin Park, new metal band. And I think this California, like what they did is they set up a scene of hardcore, but then that sort of style of hardcore, like the groovier, more rhythmic, and they had that those stop start, like really, like. Angular song structures where it's like you got the breakdown and it's different tempos and it's like very dynamic, I guess is what I'm saying. And then you can look, I reckon you can trace a line from what these guys were doing and eventually get to Korn, Limp Bizkit and the new metal scene that came out.
Yeah.
Because that was all groove.
Yeah.
That was all groove. It was like, we're going to do metal, but it's going to be groovy and there's going to be some rap. We are going to rap. We're going to rap bad. But we are going to rap. You know what I mean?
We're going to rap awful, but we're going to do it.
And like Inside, I mean, if you say Rage Against the Machine was the genesis of that, I would say Inside Out were like the paleontological kind of like, they were the dinosaur fossils that they found.
Yeah,
that
right.
Everything else evolved from sort
so
of thing.
So it's like, it's kind of like, so it's like Rage Against the Machine, the original Star Wars.
Yep, yeah.
And then this is like the pod racing one, that series.
No, this is the original Star Wars, and then
Rage Against... because remember the original Star Wars is actually set in the future.
Yeah, okay, all right, sure. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
The pod racing.
Yeah, this is the prequel. Yes, yeah. This,
so
is, the
this
prequel.
Is the prequel.
This is the prequel. Yes,
and then like
right. Yeah, absolutely. I'm
like Korn and all that shit are like the more
the new
recent
ones, the Daisy Ridley ones. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Daisy Ridley is Korn. Yeah,
Daisy Ridley is Korn.
Yeah.
No, actually, Korn would be what's his name. Driver, he'd be Korn. He looks like Korn.
He is Korn. Yeah,
he could play old mate in the movie.
I want to see a Jonathan Davis. I want to see a Jonathan Davis biopic.
Hey, Driver could. Well, I'd be fucking horrific at the start.
I used to try and do this.
You know his origin story.
I used to try and do this bit about Korn, like Jonathan Davis coming into the practice room, being like, "Hey guys, I wrote a new song," and they're all like, oh, "Fuck, is it about being molested?"
Yeah.
How'd you know?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
You know what? I through that. I tried this thing. I tried this thing on stage. I want to keep trying to do it. Just about the, you know, the classic rumor about Marilyn Manson removing a rib so he can suck himself off. And I did this thing on stage about where I was like, say it was true. Like it was true. Like the idea that, you know, how the idea would even come into your mind of that's what to do. Because like if you want to do it, you've been trying. Like, you've been trying hard. You don't just go straight to that. So I was like, he's been doing yoga. He's been doing all sorts of stuff.
I didn't get it because, like, you could just ask a guy if you could suck his dick.
But it's like,
if you really want to suck a dick, my, like, there's plenty of dudes out there.
My whole point was like, I was like, so what happens? I acted out. I'm like, they're at a barbecue. The guys are like, geez, I heard Marilyn, like, the band. Like, God, I hope Marilyn rocks up. And we haven't seen him in a while. Yeah, he's been working on some kind of project. We won't tell him it's about it. And then Marilyn, like, rocks up. They're like, hey, Marilyn. And he comes and sits down. He's like,
hey, Marilyn.
Are you all right, man? No, it's all right. I'm just working through some stuff. He's like, Marilyn, it looks like you haven't eaten in ages. Why don't you come and have some of this barbecue? I cooked ribs. What'd you say?
Ooh.
Ribs. I've got to go. Like, what do you mean? Just runs out. Like fucking, what's his name, Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Sprinting back with a rib in his hand like the golden ticket.
Doc.
anyway, that's how I imagine it happened.
So yeah, I wanted to
none
talk
of this is going to make it in the podcast.
I'm not editing any of this out. This is great. I love this shit. This is a safe space, buddy. So yeah, I did want to talk about the guitarist. I want to talk about Victor Jara a little bit because he was the other, obviously not as famous as fucking Zach De La Rocha, but what he did after this band was so. Like, musically, it was just, like, super important.
Okay.
And it was he did a band called 108, who are a Krishna core band.
I'm going to get his name for a second. Victor.
Vic, D-I-C-A-R-A.
Oh, fuck off. It's not spelled just Victor?
No, Vic Dicara.
Oh, I thought Dicara his name was his Victor.
Last... No.
I thought his name was Victor Cara. What? Okay, Vic Duh.
Dicara, yeah, yeah.
Cara. Oh, my God. I bet he used to get that all the time. Is he run Victor Cara's astrology?
No, I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
Kind of sounds like it could be him.
Maybe.
Side Reel Nakshatra? That sounds a little bit... Nakshatra?
Maybe. He's not Krishna anymore.
No, it is. I think it is him.
It might be him, yeah. That's so funny.
Victor Cara.
He's got a side hustle to sell an astrology shit.
Bro, is this...
Show me, is there
is
a picture?
Is that him?
Oh, that's him.
Is that him?
That's him, baby.
Bro.
follow immediately. No, so it's an astrology account on Instagram? Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's an astrology guy taking donations through PayPal.
That rules, Vic.
And what he did was so important.
Dude, this is the fucking point. Like, everyone, like, worships this guy, and now he's just running scams on fucking Instagram.
That's fucking crazy. That's
he did so much, and... Ultimately, it means nothing. It means something to me, but like he's still got a life to live. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I get what you mean. It's like you had this huge.
He's got this
like,
legacy.
It's like no one knew who Oppenheimer was until the movie came out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
Well, Justin. Okay, now we have that context. I'm gonna skip forward a little bit because I found an interview from 2008. And they're asking him about his playing style, his guitar style, because like 108 Inside Out, he has this really unique way of writing songs, really unique way of playing guitar, really, really cool, very influential. And so this interview, it's just a zine, online zine, asked him like, oh, what are your influences? Like what subconsciously is going on in your mind when you're playing guitar or writing a song?
What a great question.
2008. And he goes, since it's subconscious, how am I supposed to know?
Perfect answer.
I mean... If you're that conscious of your influences, you're probably not that wonderful of a musician. All right? You probably lack self-esteem. I always thought of what I played as my own style. I have a big ego. I can do my own thing and not need to validate every self-doubt by reference to scriptural archivers of punk and hardcore and, God forbid, straight edge.
Wow.
Please donate to my PayPal.
That does sound like, and if you want to tap into your subconscious.
I've got a pretty big ego, so I'm asking strangers for money on the internet.
Yeah. I'm also doing Victor astrology right now. It's on YouTube. Yeah. Yes, there are videos. Yes, I will play one.
Most thorough and complete Dasha evaluation
tool. Yeah, don't get the weird whine out of your audio,
first page,
mate.
You can see a very simple
no editing. Wheel because he's doing the Dead Ramones stuff.
Dasha. But what you might notice right away about this wheel is there's not a whole lot of stuff on it. There's just one point on it. Because the one point that you need to know to be able to determine nakshatra dasha.
This is some great content.
You are, I was going to say a word that would definitely get edited out of the podcast, but you're an idiot.
You're a dummy.
you're a big dumb idiot.
You're a bloody sod.
That's kind of like, it's not surprising that the guy that said that quote and the guy that went and made Hare Krishna hardcore is now peddling astrology on YouTube.
No, it makes total sense. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I feel like also he might have some dead bodies buried somewhere.
Maybe. He's a weirdo. Like, I saw 108 play. Like, they're one of my favorite bands. I got to see them play in New York on their kind of second wave, third wave reunion. Like, this is like 2012, I think. 2009. 2009.
Oh, just a year removed from the comments.
After this. So they reformed, they released a new album, etc. I got to see them play. Fucking amazing. But he... This is not loaded at all. He looks trans because he wears like a tank top. He wears these tiny little hot pants while he's playing his metal.
He's kind of going back to metal.
He's got that long hair with like the you know, the ponytail up here, but then with like the hair down. Like he looks like a trans woman.
Right.
No value judgment. I'm not saying that to be funny. Like, do you reckon like he's just doing like that? Super feminine, super like.
But that was kind of a thing of like the old metal-y.
I think it's like, the gender bending in metal stuff is there, but I think it is against the grain for hardcore because hardcore is so masculine or has been so masculine.
Do you reckon that's why he's doing it?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was definitely like, no, fuck that. I'm going to, because he's a skinny little life guy, very hot, like, you know, like, yeah. But yeah, super, super great. A fucking amazing band. Amazing live band. But like just a bunch of absolute weirdos, dude.
I'm glad Zach got out.
Yeah. But like, so 108, the band after Inside Out, they formed right after, broke up in 1996 because he moved to India to be a monk, to be a real monk in a temple.
Oh, God.
And then in 2005, came back, they started again, basically.
What is with these poor whites and spirituality?
But when they started, when they were still in America, they'd play in their robes and their, whatever you call it, the pigment on there. Like he had shaved head, he had the cue or whatever they call it, like the little plait coming out of the shaved head.
And I would watch that and think that that's like Fred Durst dressing up as a cowboy now.
I know, right?
Like, taking the piss, aren't you?
No, they were monks. They came straight from temple to band practice.
That's it. Yeah. How do you even get being in a band past monks?
They talk about like how much crossover there was, and I think you're right with the white people searching for some kind of spirituality because we're so devoid of it. But like, it matched up with straight edge, it matched up with vegetarianism, the idea of like, you know, try not to, like, Christian thing is like there's no garlic, there's no onion and stuff like that, so it's all about these sensory earthly kind of impulses to get them out of your life. So no illicit sex, no garlic. These are on par, you know? Like
how did we get into the anti-spice part?
It's not anti-spice, it's anything that gives you bad breath, anything that gives you farts, that sort of stuff. They're like, this is God or this is Krishna telling you not to eat it.
Wow.
It's overstimulating.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Govinda's?
He has come down to me and he has said, no more tasty food.
No more Well, Govinda's.
All food cannot be tasty.
Govinda's is all right. But they just don't use garlic or onion.
What else they put? Just salt and pepper.
I guess salt and pepper.
That's all you need. Bit of salt and pepper.
White people again.
Bit of salt and pepper, man. Don't worry about it.
White people ruin everything, honestly.
No, I think they're great.
I'm half
white.
Some of my best friends are white.
Some of my best friends are white. So pretty much all my friends are white, actually, now that I think about it. I need new friends.
But that's pretty much the history of all, like, you know, not the history of the band, but this is like their legacy. That's pretty much it. This is why they're important.
Kind of upsets me that Rage Against the Machines links us to an astrology guy.
I love that it was your aunt who gave you the record because it's such an uncle gift.
Well, yeah, she...
Like your uncle should be the one like, you heard these guys?
Yeah,
they do rock and roll. and rap.
Bit of rock and roll and rap. What do you
think?
Bit
of rap.
No, I think...
imagine, if you will, for a moment, two worlds colliding.
Yeah. Well, my auntie's only 10 years older than me.
Okay, cool. So she's like my age, I guess.
So I would have been...
How's her back?
She said, it's coming, it's coming.
It's coming.
No, but she, so 10 years difference. So I would have been, what, 5 when that record came out or something?
Surely not.
93. When was Battle of Los Angeles?
Battle of Los Angeles was a bit later. I was in high school at that point.
So it was 96.
No. So 82? No, like, I'm sure I'm... It was before 9/11, because, like, otherwise...
That's
it,
how I see everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Pre 9/11, pre the big day.
I reckon late 90s, I reckon it was. Like late 98, 90s. 99.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So she would have been in high school, like, back into high school.
Oh, shit. Right, okay, cool.
So then, like, that would have been why.
Cool.
She would have, like, listened to this instead of, you know, the radio and whatever, you know?
But they did get played on... They were on Rage. They were on MTV.
But like, she was a bit like... Like, she was anti. Yeah. She was a real big hippie.
Yeah, cool.
And, like, in that kind of realm of...
Spirituality.
Always burning incense. She was a poor wife.
Yeah, she was a Tibetan, the Tibetan prayer. And I also, as well as the Rage Against the Machine CD, I got you these Tibetan prayer flags.
Mate, you're like, we joke, but legit. Like, thanks, that's kind auntie. Of the vibe I used to always get
And
from
this
her.
Is obviously on the white side of the family, I'm guessing.
Yeah. On my dad's side, it was more... Well, I mean, we don't have to get into what he was saying on 9/11, but no. But Dad was
that's
all...
That Shane Gillis bit, that, what? It worked!
But yeah, no, well, Dad Pakistani, I don't even know. I don't even know what my dad's favourite band would be. I'm sure I'll see it in a TikTok.
Kamal.
I'm sure I'll see it in a TikTok at some point that someone will be parading around.
Is your dad big on TikTok?
He's on there.
He's on there. He's still on there.
He's on there. Even his time misses. She keeps putting reels up.
What are the views like?
Mate, I don't know. But you want to do a podcast on whatever music genre she's busting out on those, then like, go for your life. I'll try. Yeah. I got sent one the other day, actually.
That's so funny.
But she makes some of us now. Anyway, look, we're
deviating
off.
Is this your stepmother, you said?
Well, I mean, I guess technically she is my stepmother. Yeah. They only recently got married. Suspect, isn't it?
And he's in Australia or is he in Pakistan?
No, he's in Thailand living with her.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds really legit.
She's from Thailand. Well, she's a university lecturer. So I was like, how the fuck has he tricked this person into...
But, I love the faith you have in your father.
Here we go.
I love the multimedia on this.
It's just a slow zoom on... They're on him the and Sydney her Harbour. In Sydney Harbour.
It's a still. It's not a video.
It's a still. It's not a video. What do we got here? I'll try and find one that's a video.
What are the views?
Got him just holding the camera, looking at him, just spinning around in a circle.
Do you know what that says in Thai? Then?
Isn't that out the front of the War Memorial in Hyde Park?
Wasn't that Auschwitz?
What the hell?
What the frick?
I try to get it translated because it'll translate usually on... on TikTok, but it's just like, it's all lovey. It just, to me, it reeks of, hey, Australian government, we're really in love. But
oh,
we don't have to get
into that. Yeah. No, that's good. Good for them.
Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome, man. Well, I think we covered it. We've done the hour. We're good. Do you have questions, though? Do you have quick questions?
The only question I have is more of a request, and that is to your wonderful listeners to please go to Ryan's socials.
Leave a comment. Does Zach De La Rocha.
Does De La Rocha say in the song Burning Fight, Rape.
I definitively say no, he doesn't.
I'm in the no to rape camp, but the yes, he says it. Ryan is the opposite.
No! Edit! Cut! What do you got going on? You got stuff this year, right? You got a big year ahead.
Yes. I got Shad and Pete Save the World. I don't know when this comes out.
Does Shad and Pete Save the World have its own dedicated Instagram or anything?
Yes.
Yeah, so find that. Shad and Pete Save the World. Wicked Shad on Instagram.
Yeah, I've got a new solo. Well.
If it isn't Shad Wicker. And your manager has not given me any further information for the design work on that. So
okay, I will have to follow up with him today. I've got that, and I've got Shad and Pete in Perth, Adelaide, Sydney.
Shad and Pete is insane. Shad and Pete is a fucking insane
show. It is a great
show.
It's so good.
And if you go get into it, because I went to one where the audience was a little bit resistant and you guys were just like, all right, well, fuck you then.
Yeah. Like, we'll have
fun. Because there's no other option.
Yeah.
You have to have fun with the guest on stage.
So the whole concept is you write down any problems you got in your life, no matter how big, how small, how fucked up. Put them in a bucket on stage. You let myself, Pete, and some guest comedians get very pissed and solve them for you for about an hour. And we get some like, I like is that we're getting like, it's got a bit of, I don't know, some people tend to know it. A lot of people that do it want to come back and do it.
Yeah.
So this year we're only doing, we're doing Perth because we're in like a good spot, but we're kind of sticking to Adelaide, Sydney and Brisbane this year because the Melbourne shows were, in my opinion, shit house. So until...
Bullying disguised as comedy. Did that review come out of Melbourne?
No, that was Perth, actually.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
But yeah, until one of us is popular down there, I don't think we'll do it down there.
That's fine. Yeah. That's cool.
But yeah, come and check it out. It'd be good.
And you got, you got your solo shows. So yeah, just keep on top of it. Follow Shad on Instagram and stuff.
Check out my Insta because I'll be putting out my show, How I Almost Killed a Guy, and Shad and Pete, full hours will be going up soon.
Fuck yeah. Awesome. Yeah, yes. Sick. That's great. And as always, follow dead_Ramones on Instagram. My name is ryan.d.sim on Instagram. We have a complaints department or fact-checking department. The email, if you want to email in, you can leave a comment or a DM on the Instagram. But if you want to email, it is dead Ramones. Fucking hell, what is it? I just had it up before. Jesus fucking Christ. Jesus Christ. Dead Ramones Podcast, all one word, deadramonespodcast@gmail.com. So send an email. If we got any facts wrong, if you want us to cover a specific record for a specific year, let me know.
Has anyone actually?
No, I'm trying. I want people to tell. Like, people talk to me on Facebook and stuff and like give me feedback just through DM and that sort of stuff.
Do you reckon anyone will get in touch about the rape thing?
I really hope so.
I hope so.
People engage with this. I think it's going to be great for the brand.
Does it not sound like it? It sounds
It sounds like so it. Much
Finish
like it.
Finish the pod with that part of the song again.
And other than that, Rat Club Comedy in Sydney. If you're in Sydney, we're back every Monday night, Mosh Pit down in Erskineville. Awesome. Right. Thanks so much, Shad. Really appreciate you coming on, dude.
Thank you.
Awesome. We're done.